The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Northern California.
You see me playing my air guitar?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not bad. They do have such thing as air guitar championships, by the way.
I know. I would totally just blow it, though.
Yep.
I don't have the naturalness of it.
That's okay.
Good morning, Nigel.
Good morning. This is the California Adventure District Radio Show, Saturday morning. What is it, September 18th or something like that?
It is September 18th.
This is radio show number 18.
September 18th. On the 18th
yeah,
show.
It's pretty good.
I got to go play the lottery. 18.
That's okay. my name is Nigel. I got my co-pilot here as usual, Mr. James Mazzotta.
Yeah.
We like to say he's within joy, which he is, but he's also with California Adventure District at this point. You're within everything. Pretty
yeah.
Much.
I believe.
You believe?
I'm within.
Yes, I'll get you a new shirt.
And real quick, here's... Starting at the top of the hour, my condolences to you and your family.
Thank you.
You suffered a loss this last couple of days with your father in England, and I apologize for that for you because
okay.
I know. And then my business partner, Michelle, also had her father pass away a day and a half later.
Yeah.
You guys are kind of in the same boat, and my thoughts and prayers are with you and your family.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Kind of a strange week. Thanks for pulling up slack with the prepping for the show.
Oh, well, you know, we'll see. That has yet to be... We're not done yet. You may not want to be thinking later.
looks like you brought in some great guests, so I think we're going to be
good. That is
true,
yeah, but that's because of their own, not because of me.
Thankfully, we can now actually see the sky.
Yeah, it is actually nice and crisp, and somebody keeps saying rain, even though I'm looking out there saying, I don't see a cloud.
That would be cool, some rain. Suppose like a 30% chance. It's raining on the coast.
Is it?
So.
Well, we have a wedding to go to today, so if it rains, I guess, isn't that supposed to mean good luck? Or blessings on the new couple, I guess?
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to believe.
Great. So it is supposed to cool down. What, 80s, 90s?
Yes.
Up in Mount Shasta at nighttime, it's in the 40s now.
Yes. I love it.
So on the coast, it's always 60s.
Yeah. No matter winter,
no matter
summer.
What.
I know.
The difference is it's either raining or it's not.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
Foggy or not. But
that's right.
That's my kind of weather. I like
so,
that.
So for those who are tuning in for the first or second time, let's give just a little California Adventure District recap.
Yeah, I asked this morning if we could just kind of reiterate the whole philosophy real quick in a nutshell of California Adventure District because, you know, we always come on air and we get new listeners all the time that are, as we've seen a lot of growth lately, just try to reiterate who California Adventure District is and what our guidance, principles, and desires, wishes, wants, and all those things are.
That's great. So, California Adventure District recap is for myself. I've been here in Redding, almost 12 years now?
That's unbelievable.
I know.
Because I remember when you got here.
Yep. My girls are 12 now, so that's my gauge. When were the girls born? 12. All right.
Your twins, yeah.
My twins, they were born here, and so I decided to leave L.A. and come up here and be a family man, be a dad.
And, wow, could you imagine if I look at them now, and I just saw them the other day,
they're
little women.
Now they're ruling the world.
Yeah,
which is funny. But, spent 25 years in L.A. doing market photography and marketing and all that in the entertainment industry. But when I moved up here, it dawned on me that I could safely speak for 90% of everybody in Southern California that we don't even know that this part of California exists, right?
Right.
So for the people in Southern California, you know, California ends at the San Francisco-Sacramento line. Like,
what a shame.
Right. So I remember the times, you know, when I would go from L.A. to Sacramento, people would say, wow, that's far, man. You need to bring a compass.
Yep. Yeah, right? I know. So, do they have electricity?
No, we'll send a postcard. So I remember when I did move up here, I was like, wow, this place is quite amazing. especially the surrounding areas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as I ventured out into the various counties and got to venture out, it dawned on me that this place is
spectacular.
It's a spectacular place. All the way to the coast and everything. And then did a little diving into the why we don't know that it exists down in Southern California, right? And it struck me as probably a marketing thing more than anything. I mean, you don't know your own backyard.
Yeah.
So did a little research, and turns out from a tourism and travel-related spending standpoint that this whole region is just missing the boat by a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's changed a little bit this year in 2020, but collectively, so the four counties on the coast and our seven odd counties here, collectively we're batting at 1.7% of travel-related spending coming in.
To California.
Yeah. So of all travel-related spending that's coming into California, mm-hmm. our region collectively generates 1.7% of that coming in.
And the part that's sad about that is that you say collectively.
Collectively.
Right? Like, so that's a lot of territory collecting pretty much nothing.
Right. And so one of the other themes across the region that I would hear is people complain about our economic situation. Right,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our economic development,
yeah.
And that we need to do something to improve economy.
Yeah,
and tourism just happens to be the lowest hanging fruit, and it also happens to be in other areas that do it correctly. It's a major source of income, a major mm-hmm. source of income into the economy, and it doesn't need to be that hard. So it just struck me that hey. If we just pool together collectively as 12 counties and rebrand the region collectively mm-hmm. as the California Adventure District, that it would work.
Yeah.
Because it fits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, to reiterate with California Adventure District, California Adventure District is not supposed to be the company or the entity that does it all. So mm-hmm. we're not here to reinvent the wheel, but we are here to collectively present and represent what's already happening
mm-hmm.
in our region, but just present it as a collective bucket. So instead of marketing to people to come and spend a day in Redding or a day up in Mount Shasta or a day in the Redwoods or a weekend over here, what if we just string it together and say, why don't you come up here for 10 days,
mm-hmm.
right?
And these are
the things you can do.
Yeah.
So we're not reinventing the wheel. We're just taking the big collection of stuff that we already have here, and presenting it as a collective package to the world. And obviously, the big one for me, and we've already talked about this, is Bigfoot. So if Bigfoot calls, he takes precedence.
Yes.
I actually had some conversations yesterday about about Bigfoot and Willow Creek and how that's all going to hopefully pan out with the rebuilding. That whole area because of the fires.
Yeah.
So that's California Adventure District in a nutshell. We're taking what's already here and presenting it to the world in a collective manner.
Right. Yeah.
And
well,
that's the goal.
And that's the best grassroots way of doing it, right?
Right.
And truly what that does is it honors the people that have been working hard and laying the foundation for it for a long time already.
Absolutely.
Because there's nothing more that gets my goat when people want to reinvent the wheel and kind of ignore what already exists, right?
Right.
Because the people have been here and working hard and have the expertise and knowledge.
That's right.
And so our job is to recognize that and give them...
And then, you know, it's a 10-year plan to get from 1.7 to 10% or 5%. Even if we just collectively doubled the percentage of travel aid, it would just shift your economy. And for the first couple of years, it really is just taking stock of what we have collectively, not really adding to it.
Well, starting to take the pieces out of the box and start building building the border first,
right?
That's what you do with a puzzle.
What is it? A rising tide raises all ships. So the whole idea is to just raise our economy collectively, and we have the natural environment to do it.
Yeah. Very cool.
Okay, so when we come back, we have our first guest, Tessa Blevins?
Blevins, yeah.
She's right
here. Shasta Lange.
Very patient.
Yeah.
Slightly prego.
All right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, and we will be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning, we're back.
Lots of running around during the break.
I know, right? Getting my exercise.
I had to run down the hall, get a glass of water.
That's
Tessa
great.
Was out with our next guest, their best friends.
All right, so James, why don't you introduce our next guest?
So thank you so much. We appreciate you coming out. This is Tessa Blevins, my apologies for stuttering. And Tessa is the stewardship director for Shasta Land Trust. And you are holding down the fort right now, too, because you're going to have, we found out, people on board having their honeymoon going all over the world.
Yeah. That.
So
yep.
So you are it.
Yeah. My executive director is going to be out for about a month, so I'm
That's awesome,
holding
though.
Down the fort.
Yeah. So you're in charge. So thank you again for coming on and sharing with us. And I really wanted to have you on. We've had Shasta Land Trust with Enjoy Magazine before,
mm-hmm.
But what better way to also introduce Shasta Land Trust to another audience of listeners, especially through California Adventure District, considering that it is the lands themselves that are within our 12 counties that are really cherished and allow us to call ourselves California Adventure District. So
yeah.
Go ahead and share with us what it is that Shasta Land Trust does. Maybe its origins, beginnings, and I mean it's very interesting to me. I kind of went through it just not too long ago and was kind of blown away.
Yeah.
About how it works,
it's
really.
It's very unique.
Uh-huh.
The land trust has been around since 1989. 1998.
98, huh?
Yep. And so that's, it's all started, we're a nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
and it all started with one person in her, in her home. She recognized that there was a problem that needed to be addressed with lands being developed and parceled out, subdivided,
mm-hmm.
and in beautiful areas where there's oak woodlands and, rivers and streams. And that is what makes Shasta County, that's the character of Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
It's what makes us so beautiful and unique is our wide open spaces.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah. And she partnered with a willing landowner that was wanting to take the family ranch and instead of sell it, they wanted to protect it forever and ever. And the way you do that is through a conservation easement, and that is the bread and butter of what the Shasta Land Trust does. We write conservation easements that are basically documents that last in perpetuity. Perpetuity is a term that means forever. So forever and ever. There will
infinity and beyond.
Yeah. there are restrictions in the conservation easement that basically don't allow development, but do support, you know, the way the land is utilized. So in, you know, that first easement per se, that was utilized as a working ranch. There was Prather Ranch cattle out there. Mm-hmm. They're the happy cows of California living their best life on this huge amount of acreage right on the Sacramento River. And so, you know, it was just kind of like one of those ideas where she's like, I think we can make that work. And then it has blossomed into 20-plus years of protecting over 24,000 acres in the county.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really, it's miraculous, like, what – like a nonprofit can do in that sense, because we are a big county, mm-hmm. and you know, we've talked a lot with, there's land trusts all over the U.S.
Okay, so I was going to say,
yeah.
As a nonprofit, Shasta Land Trust, is that something that is part of a national organization? You're just like an entity, or are you just completely independent?
We're pretty much independent, okay. But we do function like we're an accredited land trust, and okay. That basically means that we go through a rigorous process to make sure that we're doing the right steps to do the work that we do. And a lot of land trusts are accredited, and we sometimes come together through the Land Trust Alliance and talk about the best ways to do things. Mm-hmm. And it is really, it's interesting, because you'll see the East Coast is, you know, they have tiny little states and tiny little counties.
So you could land trust the whole state.
Yeah. Well, at this point, yeah. I mean, it's the size is uh-huh. funny. But, yeah, you'll get, like, little parcels protected. And over here, we're like, oh, 6,000-acre ranches. And, uh-huh. I mean, it's a lot of land. And
sure.
California Adventure District is 38,000 square miles.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think they get that. That's, yeah. Let's put it in a land trust.
Yeah. I know we talk about acres a lot, and it's sometimes it's hard for people to understand, like, you know, how big is that?
It is hard to wrap your head around.
And until I started this job, and, like, you know, my part of my job is to go out and monitor the properties, make sure that the easement terms are being,
enforced.
Yeah. And so just driving around, I'm just like, it never ends. I'm on an ATV, and, like, you know, we'll come across, like, these plains, especially the Swede Creek Plains, are stunning, beautiful vernal pool habitat with oak woodland surrounding. And I mean, you almost can't see where it ends.
Right.
So that's been one of my statements all along is, you know, because people talk about, well, we don't want all these people coming up here. But Redding is, quote-unquote, the big city of California Adventure District. And my question is always, well, if you start at the 5 and the 44, how long, when you take 44 east, how long before you see no one? Well, like 3 minutes? And then it just keeps going and going and going. And, you know, when you do the, I think we're going to start doing this thing called the Shasta County Loop, where you actually go, go up to Bernie Falls, loop around Lassen, and you come back into Redding. That's a giant loop, right? It's
yeah,
huge.
And we have properties all around that loop.
How many properties?
I take that loop.
So you know the loop well.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you do that in one day or 2 days?
Oh, I could.
One long day.
It depends. It depends on the property I'm looking at. Yeah, if, you know, like I said, sometimes we're on ATVs where that's, you know, we unload the ATV, we're on that property the whole day. But some of them are a little bit smaller, like a walk. So I'm not just, like, driving by
you
in the car.
Do you guys use drones at all to look at stuff?
Yes,
oh, cool.
Yeah, we're just, I know, that's the new exciting news is we just bought our drone, and I'm working on my license right now. So.
Oh, that's right, because everything has to be licensed these days, right?
Yeah.
Especially
if
you're going to use the footage for anything, like even posting it on YouTube, if you were to show it, is considered commercial, and you have to have a license now.
Yeah, well, just me using a drone on work time is commercial. Like, we're, you know, business, but yeah, that's really exciting for us because we have some properties in the Pitt River Canyon. I can't hike there.
Yeah.
I can't swim there. Like, know. You know, like, I could see it, but I,
well, you should take our next guest with you and they can guide you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
It's a little hairy in the Pitt River Canyon.
So when you say, again, so when you're putting a piece of land in trust, is that a negotiable thing in the sense of how the land is to be used? I mean, is it? Okay, so that. So each piece of land that you've entrusted doesn't necessarily follow the exact same rule as far as its usage or how it's supposed to be preserved or maintained.
Right. Yeah. And okay. I wouldn't, I don't know if we use that word like entrusted, but to put it in an easement, to put a conservation easement on it, every property is very, very unique, and every landowner, they're a willing landowner coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
Their intentions are either we want to preserve the family ranch, it's been here forever, or that we have a really beautiful chunk of land that's utilized by wildlife a lot. We love the wildlife. We want to see this for future generations to be saved. And so we take whatever, we call them conservation values, but we look at what the landowner wants to do and give it, you know, a list of values. So wildlife habitat, aquatic resources, sometimes it could be recreation is one of the values, education. We have, like, the Lillian Nelson Nature Preserve is used for kids to go out and study nature. You know, and so all those values, agriculture is another big one, we take that into effect, and every easement is, like, perfectly customized and tailored to that property. Okay. None of them are the same.
All right.
How many properties do you guys...
Yeah, so we, I'm like losing track because we're currently like, we're closing three right now. It's, they're in the escrow process. So we have about 20 that are done. And then I have three like right now that I'm trying to get wrapped up.
Sure.
So, and then we have like, I don't even know how many more. We have 24,000 acres protected now, and then in the next few years, there'll be an additional 33,000.
Wow.
So you have job security is what you're saying.
I do, yeah. We were very lucky, actually. We, you know, we have lots of people in our county lined up ready to conserve their property.
Sure, that's
and
great.
So it's great. We could always use more support and more donations just because...
Yeah, so what do you need? Do you need money or do you need people? Do you need people?
We need money to get people.
You need money to get people.
Yeah, we just got a new Grizzly Corps member. She's a sub-branch of the AmeriCorps program. She's going to be helping us. She started this week. She's going to be helping us with outreach and that sort of thing, getting these projects completed. And we, you know, with more money and support from the community, we're allowed to hire more people. And
so the land itself, when somebody wants to put it in a land trust, are you guys going into escrow and actually physically purchasing it? Is there a dollar?
So we're purchasing the easement.
Okay.
So the way it's easily described is like you can think of a property has like a bundle of sticks, and each stick represents a right. So the right to use it for ag, or the right to use it for recreation, your water rights. It's all part of that bundle. And the land trust, what we do is we come over and we pick out the development rights and we hold on to that stick and we protect it and we make sure that that isn't broken. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, when I go out and monitor an easement, the thing I'm looking for is like, you know, did anybody put a 7-Eleven gas station on this, you know, or are they going to be doing something that doesn't fit with what they agreed to? Go ahead.
What kind of penalties if somebody does something with the land that they're not supposed to?
Yeah, so it depends on what they did. But, yeah, we are backed by Terra Firma, which is an organization that stands up in court. It depends on the situation and how, you know, hairy it gets. Thankfully, we've never had a violation in our 20-plus years that we've been running. But if there were to be something like that, it says in the easement, like, you know, if there is a violation, these are all the steps we're going to take. And first it starts with, like, before there even is a violation, we need to make sure that we're preventing them. So good communication, talking with the landowner, making sure they know what they're not supposed to do, and they have to ask permission for quite a
while. So the landowner can actually – I'm sorry, Nigel. The landowner can actually do this transaction with you and then stay on the property? And if they
own the land.
Okay.
We just own the development, right?
Oh, so strange. I'm trying to wrap my head around all that.
And that's the thing. It's like it's a contract that lasts forever. Uh-huh. So the landowner can keep the property or sell it. It doesn't matter who owns that property.
The easement goes with it.
Yeah, yes. It's like a little layer on top that it always takes.
It's kind of like that whole thing in New York, air rights. You buy air rights so you can build up, right? Yeah, so it's kind
have you seen
concept.
So thankfully you haven't seen too many surprise 7-Elevens pop up.
No. Okay, cool. No.
What about have you ever heard the incidents of eminent domain if the state or federal government tries to come in and have access to a piece of property that's in?
Yeah. So that could happen, and we have, you know, language in the easement what to do when that does happen. There's not much we could do.
Okay.
But when, you know, eminent domain is looking at the land, hopefully they'll see a conservation easement,
mm-hmm.
and they'll see all the values and the reasons not to develop it.
Sure.
Because sometimes when somebody's getting a tax deduction for mm-hmm. a donation of mm-hmm. their development rights, mm-hmm. they
threw your favorite loop there. Sorry.
Sorry. They want to make sure that we're, like, telling all of the values.
Yeah.
So the values are listed. They're very much explained. It's important land to protect.
So real quick, because we're going to go to our break, we really appreciate you coming on. If somebody was interested in contacting you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah. ShastaLandTrust.org has all of our staff's information and email.
They can contact you. And you guys do a really great job each year of putting together – I think it's a way that you guys fundraise.
Mm-hmm.
It's very dynamic, putting together. Yeah. It's almost like a small little magazine that you guys put together mm-hmm. with events that people can bid on, and they're really cool adventures and that kind of stuff. So,
That's people through the Wild Ways program.
Wild Ways program, mm-hmm. And we're actually trying to work with you guys right now and create a series of candles that we're going to sell in the Enjoy Store to help raise money just for Shasta Land Trust. They're called the Wild Ways candle collection.
Everything helps.
Yeah, right? Well, Tessa, we really appreciate you coming and sharing and what you do. And thanks so much. We'll talk to you. All right. Have a good one. We're going to take our break, and we'll be back with our next guest.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning, and we're back. California Ranger District Radio Show. A little bit of rock and roll in the morning.
You like that jam?
I like it.
Marcus, do you recognize it?
I don't.
You get a free cap if you recognize
it. Oh, we got to get a free cap. I don't know what it is.
That was Nirvana, right?
Close. ZZ Top.
That wasn't close at all.
I've seen ZZ Top.
You know, same continent.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. California Adventure District Radio Show. Thank you very much. September 18th, radio show number 18.
18,
already.
Yeah.
Lucky 18.
Again, it feels like a regular job.
Now. Right.
Like a regular thing.
Yeah. Are you going to introduce our next guest?
I will. I will.
They actually are very kind because they came in.
They got up early?
Well, no. I mean, I called them at the last minute, and they were more than happy to participate, you know, and I always feel bad because I don't want them to think that they're second fiddle because they're not.
Oh, we're at the very bottom of the list.
No,
I've actually been very excited.
No, that's not true because this is your second time with me.
That's right.
Right? So we actually had them on, and we've done an article in, what was it, our July 2020 issue.
You know, this is actually really good for me because, so we have Marcus, and you're going to say your last name?
Well, I'd love to hear you say it.
Devoisen?
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Devoisen?
That was good.
It's what
pretty,
is that?
It's pretty rare that someone can pronounce that, actually. It's a French. Duboisson.
Oh, Duboisson.
See, I was going to say Duboisson of French, but, you know.
He would know because he's an international man of mystery, you know.
Oh, nice.
Born in where? Sweden? Raised in England? Something like that?
Whatever. Sweet. And Nikalin. Known Nikalin for a while. Yep. He's a avid climber, adventure guy.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
he
so
is.
I've actually been wanting to meet both of you and you because adventure guys, right? Is that what you were doing? Are doing? Want to do?
Yeah. So okay. So here's the story. So yeah.
So
last
so you're
year,
French.
So I'm French. That's number one.
Right.
And then, so I was teaching last year, and then the pandemic happened, and basically, you know, we were doing school online. So I found myself with a ton of extra time, and I wanted to do something productive with my time. And I've always wanted to. About 5 years ago, I was certified as a climbing guide. And I've been doing it as a back burner, and I wanted to start something in Redding, and I see the potential of outdoor guiding in Redding, California. So I started, and I had a group of guides, and Kaylin did a couple backpacking trips, mm-hmm. and then I had yoga, acro yoga, mountain biking, rock climbing, Ryan Thompson did outdoor photography, and I kind of played around with that for a year, and it was donation-based, so, you know, pay whatever you want. And I guess I hesitate to call it a company. It's more of just a hobby that I do. I have another full-time job, and I am just struggling with diving full in and quitting my job and seeing that as something that could sustain an income. So, yeah.
Well, that is a scary proposition, but something funny happens when you, like I like to say, is when you run, jump, and then build an airplane before you hit the ground, right?
So, yeah.
Like,
hopefully.
Like, you gotta jump.
You gotta jump.
You gotta jump. If you don't jump.
Well, the interesting thing about Marcus is there's not many people that are doing what he's doing. So, you get this idea that Marcus is in a place like Redding. There's not really much of an outdoor scene. He's a certified climber, MGA climber. So he already has the credentials.
Right.
And he knows a lot of people that, and people know him as that guy who is very adventurous, outdoorsy, and nice guy, easy to approach.
But the question is it enough to sustain an income? And that's what I'm not sure of, and that makes me hesitate, because I think that there's a difference between local clientele and then bringing clientele from Oregon and Bend, Sacramento, Bay Area, out of towners. And I think that's really where you could sustain an income if you were able to have enough of a presence where you could get out of towners to sign up for trips.
So we actually talked about this for a minute before the show started, that I know this guy out in Mendocino, mm-hmm. and he does the guides. I don't know if you know him. I have to look up his name again. But he's booked, you know, 2 months out.
What kind of guiding does he do?
Just guide through the forest. Adventure guides through the forest.
Right? Okay.
Mendocino National Forest. And I think we're going to have him on the show at some point. So there's definitely something there. You know, this all goes back to people not knowing that this place exists.
Yeah.
Right? But once the word gets out, right, if it's positioned correctly, and it's all about the narrative, and the cool thing about what you're doing and what we're doing here is that it's all here already. It's not like we need to reinvent the wheel, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like you're trying to go mountain climbing in Fresno, right? That's tough, right? Yeah. But we have all
the
that stuff
here.
It's all
here,
right?
In every direction. Yeah.
And it's like that with many of the outdoor recreation businesses, in quotation marks, or the adventures, right? The whitewater rafting. It's all already here, right?
Yeah.
But like what I say, it's not undeveloped, it's underdeveloped. And right?
Yeah.
Just underdeveloped, but it's already here. And there's something about that collective, having a collective mindset of marketing collectively, mm-hmm. right, to the outside world.
And I think that's a good point. Like the Redding is, there really hasn't been someone who's doing it yet. So to be in the forefront of that, and like you said, it is all here. When I first came to Redding, I did notice that the town itself, it's changed a lot in maybe 5-6 years since I've been here. The downtown seems to be growing really fast. A lot of development happening outside.
Boom.
And it's, that was like, I think that's always the thing that people say when you talk about Redding, like, oh, Redding doesn't really have much of a culture. Oh, like, it's not like the Bay Area or LA or anything.
Thank God.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, but that's the appeal, is it isn't like those places, and it has all of these Trinity Alps, Shasta, Lassen, all these little like nooks and crannies around this area that are really interesting.
Right.
And they're on a level that's even equally as cool as Sierra's in some
sure.
areas.
So let's get back to real basics real quick. Where, Nikhailin, where are you from originally?
Ohio, Cleveland.
Ohio.
And Ohio.
LeBron James.
And so you've been here about 6 years,
mm-hmm.
right? And Marcus, where are you from originally?
So I grew up in Reading, and then I went to college in San Francisco, went to SF State, lived there for about 8 years, worked there, and then 3 years ago moved back to Reading. Made a full circle back to town.
That happens a lot, though.
I do hear a lot of stories about that, people coming back. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're meeting quite a few boomerangs.
Yeah. Well, knowing the story that and what you do, and the story that we did back in 2020 and having you guys on, you know, I have real high hopes for what you didn't deem this morning as a company, because I really would love to see it as some type of a company for you.
Yeah.
I think the thing is really kind of tackling it, like how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? So the thing for me, for you, would be is I'm just already sitting kind of daydreaming going, okay, how does he accomplish that, right? How do we get that to actually work for you?
Yeah.
And my thought would be is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know, I am quite often wrong, is actually creating specific dates, a handful of dates that you are going to do something, right?
Yeah.
And then getting them booked.
That's how I approached it last year. I did 12 trips last year.
Uh-huh.
And that was great. And I had signups. It was all donation based.
Sure.
And then I bought a house, and then I have a new job, and life gets
busy.
So, this just got put on the back burner. So I've only done 2 trips this year.
Yeah.
So I need to pick it back up.
Can
but
you
it's
tell
something
me?
I slide up and down, you know, depending on how much time I have. So,
but the trips that you're doing, right?
Currently,
people.
I just did one this past weekend at Smith Rock in Oregon.
Did people pay you to do that, or did you just do it?
So this one I actually did have. Normally it's donation based.
Sure.
It's come and pay whatever you want. I actually had people pay $60 for this one because we did a cooking class, and then I had actually a guide from the Colorado Mountain School fly out and teach a multi-pitch rock climbing clinic.
Yeah.
So we had about 5 guides on the trip. So there was this, you know, costs associated with the trip that I had to cover.
And I'm sure you know, I'm not telling you anything, but I'm an old fart, you know what? And quite often, I love the concept of not paying or paying what you can. I think that's cool. But realistically, what I have found in my life and experience is unless you pay for it, it doesn't seem to be given the value that it should.
So if I were you,
$60 bucks is great, but if you were charging somebody from the Bay Area $400 for a day of doing something.
But the difference is the intention. Like, so is the intention for this to
pay your bills,
have it make money. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really, I'm kind of dipping my toe into that because right now it's just something that I want to do for fun.
Sure.
And I guess.
Well, there lies the ultimate decision maker, right?
Yeah.
Like if this is something that you don't want pressure and you don't want it ruining it for your pleasure because you enjoy it.
Yeah.
And the reason why I can say that is because I own a store, a retail store where I work with artists, right? And when they come in and they have these really beautiful things, I'm like, wow, this is incredible. You know, I'll take 20 of these. And they're like, well, I only do 10 a year. And they're like, if you're going to pressure me to do 20, I don't know that I want to do it because I love to do it.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to be I don't want it to be pressure.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So then I have to say, hey, no pressure. If you can only do 10, then do 10 if that's your passion. And then that's where we kind of leave it, right?
Yeah.
So that right there is I guess your deciding factor. It says like,
I could see Marcus. I could see Marcus in the morning, do I have to go to the cranny house again today? Like, really? You know,
but what a hard job.
But that's, even if that's life, right? Like, what do you really want to do?
Yeah, I guess what engages me when I do these trips is pushing people out of their boundaries. And do you guys know about the different types of fun? Type 1, type 2, type 3? Does that ring a bell?
Mm-mm.
So type 1 is, okay, you're having fun while you're doing it, and then afterwards you're glad that you did it. And then type 2 is you're not having fun while you did it. Maybe it's a struggle. Whatever you're doing, you're hiking.
Skydiving.
Hiking 10 miles, you know, and you're pushing yourself. But then afterwards, you're happy that you did it.
Yeah.
Type 3 is you're not having fun while you did it. And afterwards, you don't want to ever do it again. So I think type 2 is the perfect balance of, because there's a lot of people that I meet that I say, oh, you know, I go and rock climb. Oh, I could never do that. That's something that I could never do. And I think people would just be surprised with themselves if they just put themselves in that situation. and push their boundaries. And that's what really, that's what makes it fun for me, is to see people go through that process.
Cool. We just got the orange light.
Yeah, that gives us a minute. We have a minute one more minute. Our break.
Oh, okay.
We're not kicking you out.
So for California Adventure District, the whole goal is a 10-year plan, right? Because when you talk about money, we are missing out on a lot of income. Our whole region is missing out on on its potential. And even just an increase, a little increase percentage-wise would change everything. So when we get – and one of the big things that's missing is tour guides, adventure guides. It's one of the big things that's missing. So we need to have a little chat.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so we'll be right back after a minute of ZZ Top and Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate.
All right. Great.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good morning. California Adventure District Radio Show number 18.
Serious business happening at the break.
We're talking business.
Your face was like...
We've got him up to $75.
Yeah. He was like,
maybe a little bit too granular for Saturday morning, but this is great. So one of the questions we get from California Adventure District through the website and just in general is people saying, okay, where do we go and who can take us? Right?
Are you seeing more local people asking that, or is it more people traveling to as a destination spot in Reading?
So one of the things that's happened, and we've had Jim on a number of times, and it's taken
Jim Wadley
from Reading Airport Manager, and it's taken a few years to get it into play. But we had a lot of people coming. We have an increased number of flights coming,
which
right?
Which is great. And I heard that they're going to do Reading to Denver.
That's right.
I'm really hoping that goes through.
So and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
So even though COVID happened, right, we, this area and Arcata too, I mean, it took a number of years to get into play, but we now have all these increased flights coming. So we have flights from Burbank, flights from LA, San Francisco, Seattle.
Them in, bring them in.
And they're coming in. So they're coming. I mean, we can see it at the Mount Shasta Mall, right? So we own the toy store in the mall.
And I own Enjoy.
And he owns Enjoy. So, you know, the place is packed. And we ask people, where are you from? Burbank. Seattle. Where are you from? Burbank, Seattle. So they're coming. But this time around, as they would say in the past, the airline piece has been a pendulum. Like they come and then all of a sudden they go, right? And then it takes another 5 years to get the airlines to come back. So the whole goal this time around is to have it not be a pendulum. So all these people are coming. And they're coming and they're spending money and then they're leaving. But the question is, where do we go and who can take us, right? Mm-hmm. Something like what you do, and I know Nikhil's great at this, and you guys, you know, you're the founder of this thing, right? So something like what you do is actually very much in demand. But it will be one of those things, as I learned a long time ago, if you can say it with a straight face, you'll get it, Yeah. Right? If you can say it with a straight face, if you can say it with a straight face, you'll get it. And the key word is straight face, right? So if you say, if you talk to a group of people from the Bay Area and you say with a straight face, yeah, I'm going to take you for the next 2 days and it's $50 a piece, they're going to laugh at you. But if you tell, you know, a group of 4 or 5 people from Silicon Valley, I'm going to take you for the next, you know, 2-3 days and it's $2,500 a piece, they'll pay you because mm-hmm. you can say it with a straight face.
Yeah.
Right. So therein lies the difference. So, why don't you give out some free information right now? If somebody's coming to town, let's say a family, and they're relatively active, and, you know, they've been to Black Bear Diner 3 times, and now they're looking for something else to do, and they've been to the Enjoy Store.
Yeah.
And they say, they come to you and they say, okay, we've got 2 days. Where should we go? We want to go hiking. Where do you send them?
I mean, it depends. Like, is this, I think there's a different answer for different clientele. So if it's a family clientele, you know, they're going to Lassen and they're doing the Bump as Hell hike, or they're doing, you know, going up to Mount Shasta and hiking around Bunny Flat.
Castle Craigs, yeah.
Yeah. Or if it's, you know, someone that really wants to push their boundaries and do something a little bit more adventurous, like going into the deep Trinity Alps and doing some scrambling with Nick Halen.
That's what we
gotta
do.
I remember Nick Halen going out and he'll say, okay, I'll see you in a few days. And so we'll go.
And then I guess this in terms of what I like to do in the area is obviously rock climbing. So there's 3 main places. There's Castle Craigs, Mount Lassen, and then something called Burney Limestone or the Shredding. That's mm-hmm. off of 299 if you drive about the 25 shredding. Minutes. The mm-hmm. Shredding.
That would make a great shirt. Just, yeah, I like that. The
Shredding. I climbed the Shredding and survived.
Uh-huh.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the Bigfoot Cave?
I haven't. No.
Oh, it's in the Marbles, right?
It's Marble Mountains. Yeah,
I mean, I've never been to the Marbles.
I think Ryan Thompson knows about that.
Oh, cool.
We can ask him about that.
Does it make for a good photo? If it makes for a good photo, then...
You go to the top of the marble, the Black Marble Mountain, and you go into this cave.
Do you rappel down?
You have to bring it up.
And from what I understand, it's very claustrophobic, and it's one of the deepest caves in the country. Mm. Like, literally one of the
deepest caves. I just threw up in my mouth. caves scare me to death. I had to take 17 prepubescent kids to the caves up in the northeastern part of California, and... Mm. I had 3 Boy Scouts that were in my group who obviously knew how to rule the world and write. And it was like herding cats in a cave that has no end called the Labyrinth.
Yeah.
And at some point I thought, at some point I was thinking, oh my God, we're going to get lost in here. I'm going to have to eat them all.
And one of the kids still is down there to this day.
Really?
He never came back.
I would not doubt that. I was not a very good guide because I was like, super claustrophobic. When I have to get on my hands and knees and literally try to force this gut and this butt through a crack, and these kids are just like, this is like
that would make a good shirt. Force the gut and the butt.
I was like, no, this is not my bag. Not my bag.
So, Nick Halen, what are some of your favorite places to go?
Favorite places? and the Trinities is by far the best. I like Shasta and Lassen, but Trinities have a character to them. It's very expansive. I would say the Four Lakes Loop is a very cool spot. And it has become very popular in terms of writing standards. Mm-hmm. But for good reason. It's a very cool hike.
Well, I want to ask you what is your favorite parts of the Trinities, but then I also want to ask you about when you talk about your favorite spots, there is a group of locals that will give you heat about that. Don't give away the secret. But my opinion of that is...
That's the whole chat room right here. We have the live chat, people chatting, right? And we have to watch, and it's constant.
You have to, if you're going to want Reading to grow, you have to embrace it. You have to embrace the people flying in. These are people that are coming to your town to pump your economy. So I know that you don't want to see the trails flooded with people, but at the same time, I think it's a balance. It doesn't have to be a deep secret that no one goes to.
And now this was a pendulum that I found within my posting, especially on Instagram. When I used to post a lot more than I do. Maybe I post different ways now, but a lot of people would be like, oh, you're geotagging. You're putting the location on your Instagram post. Now, Yeah, I agree that I think these places are probably going to get noticed. So I think if they get noticed, by the right people, and there's some amount of like leave no trace principles, like making sure that we take care of these places. Because, like, for instance, in
that to me is mandatory. I mean, it just has to be part of the DNA.
Well, sometimes we forget that, you know, common sense would be leave no trace. I mean, well, many of us have that just built into our DNA.
But you know, common sense is no longer common. No.
But that's why they shut down Hatchet. Did you hear about Hatchet Falls getting shut down?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many people that went there and left.
Trashed it up.
So they just
That's the thing. I think there's an opportunity here. Like, the Canyon Creek Basin has a massive bear problem, though. And it could be a handful of things with the whole, you know.
You send those that you don't want in.
They're tourist snacks.
It's just small bears. Just,
to keep them on their toes a little bit.
No, they're labradoodles. Do you see that?
The bears really like people from Chicago because they eat a lot of Chicago-style pizza. So it kind of just, it's in their blood. So just get tourist snacks.
Keep that as a warning on the airport.
Yeah.
In the airport.
Yeah.
If you go to the Trinity Alps and you're from Chicago,
yeah,
something might happen. No, I mean that isn't a thing that's an issue to worry about, but I think it's just a point of when you bring more people into these places, this is what happens, and there needs to be a balance. I think the Forest Service probably needs to figure out a way to make sure that with the increased people, how do you manage these areas?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Well, for our region specifically, it wouldn't take a lot of increase to actually help shift our economy, right? It's not like we're saying, okay, well, we're going to be like Yosemite, right?
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But we also have a huge amount of space, a huge amount of space.
Every time we actually ever do a show, we find out, you know, I mean, I know this to be a fact, but we get the numbers all the time that, you know, Lassen is one of the most beautiful national parks. It is one of the most underutilized parks in the entire Northern Hemisphere. I mean, so you could increase the numbers substantially and still it be just minuscule as far as the territory goes. But as far as tourism dollars, it would make such a huge impact with, you know, again, not being like you said, like Yosemite or, you know, those places where, you know, you actually see caravans and lines, people trying to get through the park and they're...
Which I get. I mean, that was one of the things that I appreciated most of moving back to Redding from the Bay Area is all of a sudden going to outdoor spots and I can go climbing at Castle Rock or Castle Craigs and I don't see another person there.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just have it all to myself, which is great. So it's just this internal battle because I do want to see... I grew up here, so I want to see the outdoor industry grow here. So,
So you've been doing this a while. Any close calls
with climbing,
slip and fall? Yeah.
For the most part, no. But I was climbing in Yosemite, and we did a climb called Royal Arches. It's 1,500 feet, so it's 15 pitches. So think of a pitch as, you know, you go and then you bring your partner up and you meet and then you go again, bring your partner up and so on and so forth 15 times. And we were on our way down on the rappel and we were about halfway down the rappels. And you go to these different stations where you have two bolts that are drilled into the rock and you thread your rope through, you rappel down to the next station and then pull your rope down, thread it through. And then you do that as you go down. So we were at a station, we were hanging 800 feet in the air and one of the bolts, and this, I hesitate to say this because I don't want to scare people off from climbing. Climbing's a very, safe sport, but so I leaned back and one of the bolts ripped out. And so I was hanging on one bolt 800 feet and my partner was coming down. He actually got it on GoPro and he looks down at me and I'm just ghost white. Like, we need to go. Let's get out of here right now. Kind of having this freak out.
You were hanging by a thread.
Yeah, hanging by a thread. And so basically what happened is the person that installed that bolt, they used a nut that was made out of zinc. So it was basically cheap metal that they weren't supposed to use. So it's not typical. You know, in my 11 years of climbing, that's the only time that's happened. But, you know.
Okay, so we only have a minute here. So if people want to do reach you or give you words of encouragement or book you for a tour or, you know, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so it's ooeyadventures.com.
How do you spell that?
So it's OOO, so three O's, WEE, adventure.com.
Ooeyadventure.com. And you can obviously also go to enjoymagazine.com and go to the archive, the July 2020 issue, and you can actually read the story that we did before, and that'll give you all the contact information. Who is that hanging there? Do you know? It's not you?
That's the cave that you're talking about, right? So Ryan Thompson took that photo.
Okay.
That looks like Pluto's, man.
That looks incredible.
Okay, we're up against a heartbreak.
Are we?
This has been a great show.
It has.
That was quick. Show number 18. Great guest. We need to have a chat.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you guys for coming.
Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.